This is Will's Band of the Week for October 27th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the New York City Bureau.
Brooklyn Branch.
Yeah, it moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom. We've talked about this already. I mean, you already were an indie rock star, but you figure moving to Brooklyn can't hurt, right?
Oh, it's definitely helped.
It's only a positive. Well, you're closer to a lot of live shows, I would imagine, right?
I am. I'm very close. They're practically in my lap.
What about getting to, like a lower Manhattan show, like Bowery Ballroom from where you used to be compared to where you are now?
Not quite a straight shot the way it used to be. It used to be one train. Now it's like a couple trains, but can still be done.
Still not bad.
Yeah.
I can't remember what else is out in that part of the city. Are there any other clubs that are like right in that part of town? There's a bunch of them in Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
But Brooklyn has the cool
bit. A bunch downtown and a bunch midtown.
But Brooklyn has the cool indie rockers, right?
Yeah, I would say 3/4 of the shows that I look at that, you know, appeal to me are Brooklyn anyway. So that makes it so much handier.
Good deal. Excellent. So it's I don't know how it is in Brooklyn today, but it's a rare, beautiful day here in Madison. It hasn't been beautiful at all. It's been like cloudy and gloomy for a lot of the last month or so. But today it's about in the 50s and sunny, and many of the leaves are changing color, and it's really great. So,
well, it was beautiful here yesterday and it'll be beautiful tomorrow, but today is torrential rain. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good day to be podcasting regardless. Right?
Definitely.
Well, I know that, we've got 3 bands to talk about and also some live reports, right? So,
right. Yeah. Time for the jingle.
I think it's time for the jingle. So as an aging rocker, there are many times that we record this podcast that I have no live reports. And I've got 3 this week. Is that amazing or what?
That's incredible.
Yeah, 3 live reports. So, and I know you have some too. So you want to go first or should I go first?
Oh, you should go first with those 3. I'm amazed that you made it, you know, into the studio after all that.
Right. A couple of them I had to just say to myself, look, you're an aging rocker. You could just stay home and play to that whole aging rocker persona and sit on your couch. Or you could get off your couch and go see a live show because, you're literally 10 minutes away. Let's see. One was 10 minutes away. One was 20 minutes away. And one was 5 minutes away, basically, by car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. So the first one that I went to was a week ago, I believe, after I recorded with Craig. I did manage to get out of the house, and I went to see Jay Somm. And so here are my thoughts on Jay Somm. I saw her about 2 years ago with Reese in Portland, and she was opening for Japanese Breakfast and Parquet Courts. And I remember thinking, this is very nondescript average rock, and it's not bad, but it's just not exciting at all. So mm-hmm. I was kind of like, nah, whatever. And then I saw her again with Barrett opening for Mitski last spring. I think it was in April. And I thought, all right, I think she's getting better. This is sounding pretty good. This is a solid opener. And, you know, I'm pretty much positive on it. Then the album came out, and I really liked the album. So I'm like, okay, now I'm really liking J-Som. So last week I went to see J-Som, and then I kind of went back to, I guess it's okay. That's what I So I think that she's sort of understated, almost a little too understated for me. Like, in between songs, she sounded... She was so low-key that she sounded like she might be a little bit bored. She was kind of just very softly said, "Thank you. Now we're going to play some more songs." And then they played some more songs. And, you know, some of them sounded really good, and some of them sounded kind of like, man, I think they can do better than this, based on the most recent album. So, well, hopefully they're still trending in the right direction. It seemed like they were capable of more. That's all. I don't know. Sound was fine. Everything was really fine about it, but it just seemed like it could have been better. The opener was a band we've heard some about called Boy Scouts, and I heard about the last 15 minutes of Boy Scouts. It was kind of the same thing for me, where I couldn't really find the inspiration in it. So I came back home and I told my wife that I paid $12 and it was worth about $9. That was my review.
Wow. And yet that didn't discourage you from going to two more concerts.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know.
Well, that's good.
It got out of the house. Yeah. So the next one was Girlpool played a free show at one of the student unions here. And I had thought about going to see them a few months ago. They were in town playing at one of the indie rock venues. And... So, hey, you know, you should go, right? When Girlpool comes to town and it's free.
Yeah, yeah, I have not seen that. Yeah.
And about probably like 2 weeks before the show, they announced that the local band Disc would be opening for them. And I've seen them and I like them. So I thought, okay, this will be cool. So, right. Yeah, we got to go to this,
Disc,
right?
Disc from Madison, who played South by Southwest.
Right, yeah, they did.
Have we mentioned that we were at South by Southwest?
I don't think so. We probably ought to. We need the listeners to know that. Yeah. Right. I know that Chris saw them at South by Southwest, but he got there a day before we did, and I'm not sure if they were around the rest of the week. They didn't play like 10 shows like some of the bands do.
Right.
So we did not see them. But this is now the second time I've seen them. I think they're a very good band, really solid band. Like, if they weren't from Madison, I would still be saying, hey, this is a good band. Pretty much, they're kind of a guitar arsenal band, really. They've got... three guitars pretty much rocking the whole time. In fact, the last song they played kind of bordered on heavy metal, and I kept thinking, I'm not sure if I really want them to go in this metal direction, but
right.
I definitely like the band. Really right. Cool. So then it was kind of weird because you've got this three guitar arsenal, and they finished playing, and then Girlpool is so minimalist. They've got two people, well, plus a drummer, guitarist, bassist, drummer. They switch back and forth on the guitar and bass.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of minimalist. It was kind of like, it's kind of weird. They got kind of overstaged by the opener a little bit, I think, if that's the right term. Yeah, I'm going to kind of say what I said about J-Som in a different way. They were kind of okay, but they weren't really great. I don't think they're necessarily like tailored to be like a really powerful live band. They're kind of... sometimes you just don't know how to describe it, but like the dynamics of the live performance are not really so inspiring. And they played, people will differ on this, but when a band right in this middle of their set plays a cover of Lady Gaga, that song from A Star Is Born, it's like, why are they doing that? I think I figured out why they were doing it, though, because the singer was just belting it out, and I think she was just like, it's so fun to do this. You know, the chorus of that song is this big, soaring, like, powerful vocal. So she's like, see, I can do this. I can sing like this. So in that way, it was kind of funny, but it was like, I don't know. Is that the priority of your live set? You're only playing, like, 40 minutes, you know? Uh-huh. So Yeah, so it was okay. There's my two live reports so far.
Two okays.
They're okay.
Yes.
And then last night, this is cool. I didn't tell you this, I don't think. I went to see somebody who I only found out because of you. We talked about this artist a year and a half ago who I had never heard of, and it was somebody that you had told me about. Can you guess it?
No, I have no idea.
I went to see Amy Rigby.
Oh.
Yeah, at a you know, living room show. It was at Kiki's house. Have we talked about Kiki's house before?
I think we mentioned that there was a house, yes.
There's a woman in Madison named...
And she's a friend?
She's not a friend.
She's a friend of... No.
Well, she's a friend of all the rockers in town.
Okay.
But Kiki Schuler is her name, and she just decided to make her basement into a music venue. Very successfully. So she's got... I think I read at some point that the capacity is 60. It doesn't really... It feels more like 40, but maybe there are 60 chairs in there. And it's a great setup, and she has a lot of, you know, a lot of the types of bands that would play the living room type show that are usually kind of folk rock. Some of them have full bands, some don't. This is the third or fourth time I've been there. So I read that Amy Rigby was going to be playing there. I'm like, well, yeah, I got to go to this. So I was literally sitting like 5 feet from her. And she has a book that came out recently.
Yes.
So she's doing kind of a combined book tour and live performance. And so she would read an excerpt from the book, and then she'd play a song and keep going like that. So it was pretty cool. So, very, as you would imagine, like intimate setting. And totally, this was amazing. Totally full of aging rockers. Like, I almost felt young being there. It was like totally, and like she's about 60, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but it was all pretty much full of people.
I would say her biggest records were around 95. So,
yeah,
that's when she was big.
And she started. She had a couple of bands when she was younger, and kind of, you know, I think she moved to New York City in the 70s, and she was telling a bunch of stories about that.
There's a funny story,
and there's probably a song about it too, but it's a funny story about how her band with these two other women, they were touring, and they somehow ran into one of the members of the band Urge Overkill, and the guy just like befriended them and was just this goofball guy. she told a bunch of stories about him, and it was funny. So I can't.
Yeah, the first band was the Shams, right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one before that, which was her and her brother, and then there was a funny story about when they were playing a show, and they didn't know if their parents were really that familiar or how much attention they were paying to their music, you know, and they're like, they said, okay, well, we've got a show, maybe you guys want to come, and so. The parents showed up, and then, like right in the middle of the show, the parents stormed out of the venue, and her dad was complaining to the management that he was getting bad service. and then everybody was kind of laughing, and then her brother says to the crowd, you know, I'm glad you all got to meet our parents. And then everybody's laughing because they thought he was joking and didn't realize it really was their parents.
Right.
So anyway, I can't tell the stories as well, obviously, as she can, but she's a very good storyteller and good songwriter and everything. It was great for that venue. So there you go. Those are my live reports.
Wow. You've surpassed me there because I haven't actually seen her live. So, although I have had a chance and I just missed it. So,
you'd think that the book thing. She said she's going to Pittsburgh next. I think she's originally. Yeah, she said she's from Pittsburgh originally.
From Pittsburgh, yes. Yeah.
And she was saying, you know, I hope there's nobody here from Pittsburgh because I'm a little bit critical of Pittsburgh.
I think she had a song on the last album which she talked about Pittsburgh, and it wasn't that kind. Yeah. Exactly.
And but she said that her next stop on this tour is Pittsburgh. So
mm-hmm.
She shouldn't have to go that far. Pittsburgh, I think, is like 15 hours by car from Madison. You'd think she could have a stop in Indianapolis or someplace like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, pretty cool. All right, we'll turn it over to you now for your live reports.
Well, I have two live reports. I mean, I'm trying, I feel a responsibility being in Brooklyn that, you know, to come on the podcast at all and not have a live report seems like dereliction of duty, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to see one of my favorites, Sydney Gish, basically on principle that, you know, whenever she has a show, I go.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people you just, it's like, oh, I mean, haven't seen her in 6 months, gotta go. Not with any great expectation that she was going to do anything new, and she didn't really, but she's always good. But it was a benefit, and there were four bands on the bill. We only stayed for three, and the one other one that was up, Active Bird Community, I had not heard, and I had not listened to any of their songs before I prepped for the concert. And wow, they were great, I have to say. They were fabulous live. Just a great, loud, straight-ahead band. And just highly recommended, along with Sydney Gish. And actually, the guitar player for, or one of the guitar players for Active Bird Community, I had seen before because I went to see Samia, who we talked about a while back. And she sort of had a band that she put together. She doesn't have a regular backing band or really a regular tour schedule. But that was the guy that she had picked up for her guitar player for that concert. So I'd seen this guy before. And that was great. Just really good.
Cool. I keep
Tiny
wondering.
Tiny club. Oh, new club for me. Baby's All Right, which is in Williamsburg. And the room says on the wall that it has a capacity of 200.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine 200 people squeezing in there unless they stood on top of each other. My son was suggesting maybe 150, but I'm not even sure you could get that many people in. So it's a really intimate space, which I like.
Yeah, that's one. They've been around a while, right? I've heard of Baby's All Right for
quite a while.
It's an indie rock. Yes. It seems like it took over from that venue called Shea Stadium. After that place closed, then you started hearing about Baby's All Right instead. Yeah.
And they are actually hosting in about a month, they are hosting Seisumi.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That would be good, one would think.
Oh, yeah. It's a perfect group for them.
So I was going to say, I wonder at what point will Sydney Gish expand her sound and get like a more traditional full band. You'd think that she would do that, right? Although she really does love doing the guitar loops, so I guess you can go either way.
Yeah, I must say, I keep thinking that I will go see her and she'll have at least one or two other people up there. But so far, yeah, no, she's still doing the solo thing. So we'll see how it develops.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in full band news, I went to see Rosie Tucker, who I'd seen at South by Southwest. Did we mention that we were at South by Southwest?
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah. No, you had your story from that one was really great, though, right? You just walked past it accidentally.
Well, yeah, I was walking straight on Congress Street, the biggest street in Austin, and hear this music coming from the rooftop, and tracked her down. So actually, I talked to her after this concert, and I mentioned that, you know, I'd seen her in Austin. She remembered.
Cool.
Yeah, she said, oh, yeah, I talked to you. I remember that. Yeah, cool.
Very
good.
She
said, what's your name? I said, David. She said, I'm Rosie, which, you know, seemed a little redundant since I'd just been watching her perform for an hour. But, you know, it was funny.
She was introducing herself as a human being rather than a symbolic performer.
Right, right, right. Right. Yeah. Not that persona, but an actual person. You're right. You're right.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah. So, full band, I think it was her first, New York concert. So I was, you know, anticipating actually a more tightly packed room, let's say. It's a small club in Manhattan. But they were great. They were just Her band is amazing. She's amazing. And it was just a great, great performance.
Cool. That's good.
Basically running through the entire album, which was out, I don't know, 6 months ago. Adding one new song and a cover, I think. And that, but basically just doing the album. That was good. So I have those two. It's fine that I went to two, you know, live performances. But the fact is that I've been, if you totaled up all the ones that I missed that I could have gone to, it's, you know, my record doesn't really look that great. Let's be honest. I mean, I could have seen Jay Sohn.
Yeah.
But I didn't. She was at a local venue, very close by. And I could have seen the three nights of Luna doing one of their classic albums each night at a different venue, but I didn't. I thought about it, but I didn't go to any of them.
That's interesting.
Partly because I've seen them in the last year or so.
I have never seen Luna. I watched a video from somewhere, maybe Paste, I'm not sure, of Luna playing. And I saw that they were going to be playing, I don't think they're playing in, maybe Chicago is the closest they're going to be to here. But the listing that I saw, they were playing an album that I never listened to. So I haven't listened to all the Luna albums, apparently, because I couldn't remember, but I went back. I'm like, no, I don't know that one. They have a lot of great stuff, though. So the guy...
They do.
Am I reading this correctly? That the guy, Dean Wareham, that's his name, right?
Right.
Does he have kind of an odd affect? There's something about him... the way that he stares into the camera or something, and you're like, I don't, just odd affect to the guy.
I don't know. I've never.
Maybe it's just that the way I read him, you know, when I was watching this video. But there was Galaxy 500, and then Luna has a whole bunch of great stuff. So
they do. I don't know if I'm really into this whole doing the classic album format.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you ask me, you know, what do you want to hear from Luna? That it would, the songs would come from, you know, two from the first album, a few from the second, you know, on and on. It wouldn't be, oh, this album was so great, I need to hear it from beginning to end. I don't think they have any record that's, you know, it's not OK Computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're all good, but I don't think any of them is so great that you need to, you know, sort of stand and adore it for an hour or so. So I would rather just hear them do whatever else, you know, do a mixture. But anyway,
I just looked. I do have quite a few Luna albums in my library here. I think, there's one called, is it The Days of Our Nights?
I don't even know if I know that
from
one.
1999. Let's see.
Hello, little one.
Well, it's going to take a long time to develop, like Luna songs tend to. But I think that's true. One that I liked a lot, The Days of Our Nights from 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Rendezvous in 2004, Romantica 2002. So there's three of them that I know I liked a lot. So, yeah, good.
Yeah,
good
Romantica
band.
Was one they were definitely doing live.
So how did we get on the subject of Luna? I forgot.
Oh, I was discussing non-live reports, negative live reports.
Oh, right, the show you didn't go to.
Yes. And then the biggest show I didn't go to, we're working up from the small to the large. The biggest show I didn't go to, there was it's kind of a mini festival thing that was, what was it called? It's called Octfest. And it was what was the beer? It was a beer company.
I don't remember. I remember seeing the listing.
Anyway.
And Protomartyr was in that, right?
Protomartyr was listed, but then I think they canceled, right?
Really? I don't know.
I don't remember. I'm not sure they were there. Okay, I could be wrong about that.
Weren't there two days and 1 day was like metal, The other day was more like indie rock, if I remember right.
I don't know, but it was definitely stretched out over a large chunk of time, and also yeah. I think two stages within this one complex.
Huh.
Kind of a factory building in Queens. Anyway, some of your favorites were there. Parquet Courts were there, and Priests were there, and Mogwai. So it was a pretty good lineup, even with or without Proto Martyr. It was a pretty good lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't fit into my schedule somehow. Also, not quite sure how to get out there. This is kind of a remote location.
Not the most convenient place, huh?
No.
Well, you could probably get
if there was somebody
a...
there that you were really aching to see, then you might make the pilgrimage.
Probably a $50 cab ride would get you there, right?
Probably, and then another God knows how much for admission.
Mm-hmm.
That many bands, I don't think it was a cheap ticket.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right, well, we'll excuse you since you did see some live shows, so
yes.
The misses can be excused. But you got to keep that standard going, you know, with all the opportunities you have there.
I do. I have opportunities coming up, and also tickets coming up. So I'm good.
Great. Okay. Well, we have recorded music to talk about now. Should we do that?
Yes. Yes.
Why don't we? I think we've got indie rock veterans and podcast veterans dive. We should talk about them first.
Yes.
And, you know, New York City band, too, right?
Right.
They're affiliated with Brooklyn, aren't they?
I believe they are a Brooklyn band.
Associated
yes.
with Brooklyn, I guess I wanted to say. Yeah. Yeah. So, what is this? Their fourth album or their third? Might only be their third. They've gone some time between albums.
Yes.
But I know their last one was a really long one. And, like, a bunch of us had it. Well, at least a couple of us had it in our top tens. So they got a good history with the podcast. And this one is a little bit of a departure, I think, because it has a little more of the kind of heavier shoegaze-type stuff, like thicker guitars, I think, in some spots, and a little bit less of the sort of bouncy, poppy-type things. But it still sounds like Dive, and it took me a couple of listens to sort of get into it, and then I decided, yeah, it's worthy. I don't know if it's going to be at the top of the end of your list, but you know, it's still solid for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Deceiver, and well, maybe I should let you take the first pick because you said you only had two, and then if I stole one of yours, you'd be in big trouble, right?
That's right.
Wait,
it
wouldn't matter though, because then mine still could steal yours either way, right? You know what I mean?
I suppose that's true.
So maybe I should take the first one.
Well, actually, if you were to take the first one, which one would that be?
It would be number two.
Damn.
Did I steal it?
Yep.
It's called Like Before You Were Born.
Yeah, that one is amazing.
Yeah, I think they've been listening to some My Bloody Valentine in between the last couple of albums.
Quite possible.
Because they've cranked up the noise guitar a little bit. But still a good, musical sensibility. So, I like it. Deceiver is what the album is called.
So my runner-up pick would be either 4 or 5. How do you feel about 4 and 5?
I feel neutral on those. You can have either one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try 4.
It's called Between Tides.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said you were neutral between 4 and 5, did that mean that you couldn't decide between those two, or that you didn't care for either one? I wasn't sure.
Neither of them were in my top picks, but I didn't. Right. I don't dislike them. I think the whole album is pretty solid. But yeah. I meant you would not be stealing one of my picks either way.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, because let's just keep going because I was I liked 7 and 9. So let's go with number 7, The Spark.
Yeah.
That one's a little poppier, right?
Yes. Just to break up the monotony a little here.
You got a wall of shoegaze guitars. You gotta break it up with a little poppy song in the middle. Yeah,
yes.
I think it's all pretty good.
I would give honorable mention to Nine, also Blankenship, which I liked when I first heard it, even before I realized that it was a political song about, I believe Mr. Blankenship was a coal baron who in West Virginia who went to jail.
Oh, I didn't know the story.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that was sentenced to prison for a mining accident that killed a whole bunch of miners.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's him. Anyway, it's a climate change song, an angry climate change song.
All right, that's good. Got to have those. Even though it went right over my head, of course, so the message didn't get to me. So I'm a failure of the goal of that song, apparently.
But as I say, I knew it sounded like a great song to me even before I realized what it was about.
Yeah, so there we go. That's Dive. That's a sample of the new album, and it's worthy, so check it out.
Totally.
Indie rock veterans.
Speaking of veterans.
Yeah, uh-huh. Are we going to speak of veterans?
We've got another bunch of veterans, right?
Big Thief, are they they're veterans just from this year? It's their second album this year.
Exactly. It's their fourth since 2017.
Yeah, they're not messing around.
Four albums in less than three calendar years.
And they're not, I have to say this, they are definitely not just like putting out fluff or like extra stuff or, you know, oh yeah, we recorded an extra eight tracks, so here they are. It
right.
sounds very, very purposeful and very worthy. Although I think this was recorded at the same time as the previous album, wasn't it? I think I read that.
Oh, I don't know that.
So they had an album out, you know, like basically 6 months ago called UFOF. And that one is largely kind of quiet acoustic type sounding. And then this one is a lot more electric. The new one is called Two Hands. And
right.
I just think they're a really good band. This was a live show that I missed. Because I scheduled myself to be in two places at once. And we all know that's impossible, to be two places at once.
Right.
And so I was in the other place, unfortunately. So.
But I believe Barrett went to see them, right?
Chris went, and I never heard whether Barrett was going to go with him, and I forgot to ask Barrett if he actually went. Chris went, and the opener was Palehound, and Chris did say that he really liked the Palehound album, and he posted a photo from their show, so I presume he liked Palehound. Didn't hear what he thought about Big Thief, but so I guess this one's going to just have to be another one that's out there. The band that I hope I can see in the future, Palehound too. Well, it worked last time for me to make the first pick. So should we try that strategy again?
Okay.
I mean, there's plenty of good songs to choose on this album.
There are. There really are.
I'm going to pick number two, Forgotten Eyes.
Super.
Big thief.
Well, you did it again. You took my top pick.
I'm good at just grabbing that pick away from you, just snatching it out of your hands.
Yep.
Yep.
But luckily, your other top pick was my second one, so you're all set.
Okay. I guess we're ready to rock then. Should we just play it?
Two hands.
Okay.
You know, they're doing a variation on one of your favorite techniques there.
What's
the favorite
that?
Technique being the one where you hold back. There's no drumming at the beginning, and then somewhere in the middle the drums come in full.
Yeah, yeah.
In this case, there's a little bit at the beginning, and then it sounds like it's about the full drum kit is about to come in, but it never actually does. They just kind of bounce in and out a little bit there, I think.
Right. Yeah.
The bass doesn't come in until a while into the song either.
There's an interesting thing when you listen closely to the one from earlier this year, UFOF, and this one, and that is, it's very interesting how they've mixed the bass. Because there are some songs where I was thinking, that's kind of weird, there's no bass in here. But then you realize there is, but they just haven't mixed really low to make it really mm-hmm. subtle, and then it's kind of cool when you realize that. So sometimes I say to myself, come on, make the bass louder, but then I realize that they're doing it that way for a reason. You know, it adds a subtlety to the sound. And that's the cool thing about the band, right? They're a little bit non-standard in a lot of ways with their song structures and writing. And
I think
there are probably people who would find the her vocals a little bit, you know, hard to relate to maybe or whatever, because they're a little different. But I think once you buy into that, if you do, it's really, really good. So I will make another pick, and I'm going to just take the easy pick, because when the band says this is one of the best songs, then it probably is, right? So the one that they put out, you know, a month before the album came out or whatever was this one, which I think is really good. So let's play it. Number 7, called Not.
Not the phone on the table, nor the bed in the earth. stable, nor your stable words. It's not the formless being, nor the cry in the air, nor the boy I'm seeing with her long black hair. It's not the open weaving, nor the furnace glow, nor the blood of you bleeding as you try.
Big Thief, Two Hands is the album.
Just to bring it around full circle, you know who she sounded like exactly like on that song?
Oh, I'm curious to know who that's going to be.
Amy Rigby.
Oh, there's...
If you played that for me and didn't tell me who it was and told me it was a new Amy Rigby song, I would be totally convinced.
That would be cool. That's a fun... exercise, because I didn't associate the two together at all, so I didn't make that association. So,
not necessarily true of any of the other songs, but that one, yeah, absolutely.
That reminds me, I don't know why it reminded me, you just brought me back to Amy Rigby. Another story she told, I think the host, Kiki, said that she's been to Madison, but not for 15 years or something. But she said that she opened for Warren Zevon at the Barrymore Theater in Madison in 1999. The Barrymore Theater it's relatively small, but it's a theater. So I think it holds like 1,000, somewhere around that size. And someone had told her that that she was really nervous about appealing to the Warren Zevon crowd. Like, she thought, I don't know if these people are gonna be accepting of my music or whatever. And she said that her brother was a big Warren Zevon fan, so when she looked out on the crowd, she just imagined her brother watching her, and then she said it went fine. That was kind of cool to think about, right? She's playing in a 1,000-seat theater, and now we're seeing her in this basement. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Big Thief.
Ebbs and flows. Ebbs and flows.
Big Thief, solid band. Check them out. Now you have checked them out because you listened to what we just played. Yeah. All right. Now, should we do our bonus band?
Bonus band.
Yeah. Hamilton, Ontario's finest. Personal friends of Anurag. They might not actually be, but they should be, right?
They're definitely neighbors.
Yeah, I think Anurag was probably promoting them on Twitter before we even had heard of them, before Anurag told us about them. But he did, in fact, tell us about them. We're talking about Basement Revolver.
Yes.
And, so they had their album last year, and a bunch of us really liked their album. And now they have an EP. So you always think, well, is this kind of the bridge between the first and second album or whatever? But, they just came out with this thing called... It's called Wax and Digital. Wax and Digital EP. Maybe that means that it's going to come out on wax and digitally.
I believe it has.
Yeah. speaking of that, hey, I heard another trivia item. We talk about Bandcamp a lot. There was a Bob Boylan thing, the other guy on NPR, Lars Gotrich. Is that his name? Or is that a different Lars? I always get him mixed up.
No, I think that's the right Lars.
Who's the other Lars? Like the drummer from Metallica or something? There's some Lars guy that I always think, am I mixing him up with the NPR Lars? Well, anyway, Lars interviewed the guy, CEO of Bandcamp. And the guy from Bandcamp said that one of the plans they have is they're going to start making vinyl. Like, artists can put up their music and then, you know, like, order vinyl records from Bandcamp. That's pretty cool, right?
Wow, yes.
It seems like it'd be expensive, but it's probably one of those things where, you know, the more copies you order, the cheaper per copy it is. You probably couldn't just order 10, you know, for any reasonable price, but they're gonna start doing that. So, yeah, I just thought the wax and digital made me think of that. So,
right.
Yeah. Well,
that would be similar to what you can do on Amazon if you self-publish a book. I think they print it, don't they?
Yeah. Well,
but of course, that's a lot cheaper than recording. I mean, than pressing a record. I think maybe it's not. I don't know.
It seems like it'd be a lot easier to print a book than to press vinyl, because you got so many pieces of the vinyl, right? I mean, you have to have the master, and then you have to make the vinyl, and then you have to put the label on it, and then you have to have the sleeve, and it's really big, and it's got a bunch of artwork on it. It seems like a bigger undertaking to me. Maybe they'll do, I don't know if they could do it, like, didn't Chris say that when somebody orders a book on Amazon, they make the book, like, after it gets ordered. So, like, well,
right.
It doesn't even exist until somebody orders it, and then they make a copy. Yeah. There's probably this gigantic Amazon printing facility that has like one person inside of a 100,000 square foot building, right?
Right. It's all robots
monitoring the machines. Yeah. All right. Back to Basement Revolver.
So yeah, I think rather than being a bridge to anything, I feel like this is just very much like the album, only there's, now we have six more songs.
We do, yep.
I mean, it seems like every one of them is every bit as good as what was on the album, and that's pretty good.
I'm not quite as high on this as the album, and I keep wanting them to be just a little, I want them to pick up the tempo just a little bit.
But, well, they do have one slow song here, and then one really slow song.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only six songs, so I understand that complaint, definitely, because that only leaves four up tempo, and maybe they're not up tempo enough for you. But
So
but taken as a whole, taking the album and the EP together, I mean, it's quite a nice body of work for a band that nobody seems to be paying enough attention to.
Yeah, they need to get broken out a little more.
Yeah.
So, okay, why don't you take the first pick on this one?
Well, I think even though we're complaining about the slow songs, that number four is not the slowest, but the slower of the record, and I really like it. Have I Been Deceived?
Yeah.
Basement Revolver.
Yes, and your pick would be?
Well, my pick, it's the easy way out again, without having to use much discretion. The most sort of up-tempo track, and I think catchiest too, is the title track. So let's go with it. Wax and Digital. That's Basement Revolver.
Yeah. You know, speaking of deceiving people, if you played that for me and told me that it was a new song from Always,
yeah,
I would be totally convinced. Her voice sounds a little different, but, you know.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. It was almost a little disconcerting.
Yeah.
How much that does sound like Always. But, yeah. Well, it's a good band to sound like.
I saw a picture of J-Som at the Brooklyn concert. Mm-hmm. She was wearing an Always shirt.
Huh? That's cool.
She's a fan.
Good. Well, that adds cred to her. So, yep. You want to play one more or leave it at 2 out of 6?
Oh, why don't we play the intriguingly titled Concussion Part 2.
All right, that's number 3.
Yes.
Things we used to do, another mountain, another dark carpet. I can't do another day in my bed. Things go slow, insane.
You know, they put out a pretty powerful sound for, they're just a three-person band.
Right. Yeah. I can't complain. That one was too slow, right? That one, they definitely rocked out on that one. Yeah.
They picked up the pace on that one.
Wall of sound. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. So, yeah, hopefully they'll start getting around a bit, and maybe we'll get to see them sometime. You know what would be perfectly convenient? Would be if they would head down to Austin in March, and maybe we'll be there again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep thinking they're the perfect fit for that venue that we never talk about.
Right.
That place that we never mention.
Right.
Down exactly. In Texas.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Well, maybe, I don't know, you know, we don't know what's happening. Maybe the Canadian authorities are keeping this whole thing under wraps. Maybe they're hoarding their resources. You know, they got all these groups and they're just like, no, we're not going to share any of this with other countries. We're going to keep it to ourselves.
That could be. Yeah.
I mean, they were playing in Toronto the other day, so they play around. They just don't come. They don't come to the United States.
Have they even played any gigs in the United States yet?
I don't think so.
They were didn't they? They did a. I think they did a KEXP thing. Either that or an audio tree.
They?
I think it's a KEXP.
If they did, then they would have to have been in Seattle.
You'd think they would have played a show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, anyway. Well, we'll
look that up.
We will keep on the lookout for them. Basement Revolver.
Definitely.
I'm going to say that Anurag would approve, even though I didn't ask him specifically this week whether he approved. But he has to, right?
Well, my theory is that the reason that they put out the EP is that he just keeps going over to their house and banging on the door and saying, when are you coming out with more music? And they just got tired of it. So
right.
They released these six songs.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Hamilton, right down the road from Kitchener.
Sister cities, I believe.
Yeah. All right. $0? Greater than zero? I think we're above zero now.
Well, with all those live reports, it's got to be greater than zero.
Yeah. Time just flies. We've been rambling on well over an hour already. Hard to believe. But, yeah. Okay.
It's not that hard to believe that we could ramble on.
No, we're pretty good at rambling, actually. Yeah. That's why nobody's listening anymore. Only Jason.
Except for Jason.
Thanks, Jason. You're the greatest. Well.
So what's the secret word for Jason?
I don't know. We had one last week and then nobody got it. So I think, okay, the secret word is revolver. Okay.
That's a little too easy because it'll be in the title of the show.
Yeah, I know, but he won't guess it. I mean.
Okay.
It's low security. So if you tried, like, it'd be like trying 10 passwords, you might guess it. But he only gets one guess. So that's what we're going with.
What if the secret word were Kitchener?
All right, let's change it now because he might have turned it off
now
just
now.
Now
it's tricky. You would think maybe Hamilton.
Okay.
But no, it's not. It's Kitchener.
All right. Kitchener is the secret word for this week.
Okay.
Glad
we cleared that up.
Yeah. Actually, Jason and also Greg from New Hampshire, those are the only two people who listen to the whole podcast.
Actually, no, they're the only two people who we know
listen to. There's thousands of other people, but don't tell us. Right, exactly. All right, good enough. Thanks again, David. Keep in touch. We're winding down 2019, to believe it, if you can believe it. I mean, it's crazy, right?
It is. And I just want to say that I, unlike any time in the past, I've actually been keeping a running 10 best list.
It's kind of fun to do, isn't it?
Instead of doing it at the last minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keeping it running. So it's got about 12 items, so it's got to be worked on. But
yeah, I've been doing that. I was just doing it yesterday, too. How about your best of the decade list? Have you been working on that one?
No, not at all. I have to look at the Pitchfork list and see what's going on there.
Yeah, it's disappointing. As far as you know, we're concerned. But you know, well, it's worth looking at for sure.
I don't even know how to go about doing a best of the decade. I mean, with best of the year, you can at least look at people's lists of, you know, 100 albums, and that jogs your memory a little. But with this, I don't know. I don't even know how to go about it.
Well, I have my top tens for the last 10 years all written down.
Oh, right. Okay.
So then there's 100 albums, and then you figure if it didn't even make your top 10 in a particular year, how would it possibly make your decade list? Probably not going to happen, right? So
that's true.
Then you have to figure out, okay, could there be something that was like your number three for 2016 that on reflection you're like, oh man, that was fantastic. That's actually, you know,
right,
you know, vault that up ahead, you know. So that's one way to go about it. Yeah. Or make a playlist that consists of all the music that you've saved in the past decade and start playing it at random. You could do that too. And then something comes on, you're like, wow, that was a great album. Or it might come on, you might say, that didn't wear very well. I'm going to delete that. So, see, that's the thing you can do now, right? Like in the past, suppose you had like a record collection and you listened to an album and you weren't that excited about it. Well, you would just put it back away and put it back in your collection. You wouldn't just throw it away.
Yes,
yeah, you wouldn't just like toss it in the garbage. But now you can just hit the delete button and it's gone. Yeah, it's so easy. Both directions. Acquisition and deletion.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We should sign off. And next week, I'm not sure what's going to happen for next week. I'm going to be gone the entire weekend. So I'm either going to have to whip up something in advance that'll probably be a shorter one. Or, God, I'd hate to have to skip a week. We usually don't end up skipping a week. Hopefully come up with something. But that this will explain why. If there's a missing podcast, you'll understand
why. But you have to keep up with the flood of end-of-the-year releases.
I know. I have a few more on my list here. But it's I think it's going to start decreasing because usually November is not that big of a month, right, for releases. You hit mid-November and everybody's like, yeah, they're done releasing things, and then nobody releases anything in December because everybody's working on their lists and stuff. Right. And then you have to buy the, you know, the box set of 10 CDs for somebody as a holiday gift or something. So I focus on that. Yeah. All right. There should be a box set of that has all of our podcasts on it, right? Every podcast we've ever recorded. And we could do it on put it on CDs. That would take a lot of CDs, though. That'd be too many CDs. They'd have to be data CDs, not audio, regular audio.
Yes, yeah. compressed.
Or we could just put it all on a thumb drive, but just still put it in a great big box to make it look fancy. But it would just be a little thumb drive inside the giant box. But then we'd have color photos of all of us, big long bios of all of us, make us seem really important, right? We'd have a rock critic write a thing that makes us sound really important.
Right.
So
Separate thumb drive of deleted episodes.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Outtakes and alternate versions.
Outtakes, crazy jokes. Yeah.
Here's a podcast we recorded and then we lost the file and so we had to re-record it. But then we found the original file. So there are actually two versions of this one.
Right. Yeah, we could have alternate versions. I could make remixes. Where we just take a whole podcast and put a bunch of reverb on it, and it'd be the remix. Could do that too. All right, let's sign off. People are like, come on, get this over with. Okay, we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.